reminder that when we come here to this place, maybe even especially at a season of Advent, we're reminded of that love that Jesus has for us and that we have for Jesus. And it enables us to worship in the way God desires us to. So I'm pleased to be able to be here. I was away last week, and I don't know if you noticed or not, I was so excited about preaching, I wanted to start before I was supposed to. But I am excited about the message we have to share. I'm thankful for Elizabeth, who was able to share the message last week. I appreciate her being here to do that. But today, we begin the Advent season. And as we do, I want us to think about the theme of Advent. And what I'm going to do, and I thought about this and whether or not it was the way I wanted to preach or not, because it didn't sound too scriptural to me at first, but I'm going to incorporate for the next few weeks of Advent the idea of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol in the midst of. And you might say, well, Greg, we preach the Bible. We don't go talk about other books and stuff like this. And that's true. And that was something I had to pray about and think about. But then as I spent time with that, and we're actually going to be doing some things with Sunday school that relate to the Christmas Carol, the play that we're going to have on the 11th, that relates to Christmas, the Christmas Carol. And I realize all through that, there are things that relate very directly, so easily, and provide us examples of today of how God speaks to us in Scripture. And so for me, it's a reminder that yes, while we have Scripture, and we need to know Scripture, and we need to go to Scripture daily, God speaks to us every day in so many different ways. And so as we look at the character of Ebenezer Scrooge in all these different arenas, I think we may see some things we can relate to. It may help us to understand, to get a perspective of Scripture that maybe comes alive to us in a new way. So that's how I ask you to embrace this time together. We're going to begin by looking at what it means to deal with the past and appropriate responses for dealing with the past. Each and every one of us has a past. And some people's past is longer than others, depending on how long you've been living. And most all of us have things in the past that we, quote, have to deal with. Mistakes that we may have made. Things we didn't like. Ways we were mistreated. So I think this has to be, even for the youngest of those who are here, even if the past for them was yesterday, I think this is relevant to all of us. So I want to begin by looking at a character in Scripture who had to deal with a difficult past. It comes from Luke chapter 22. I'll be reading verses 54 through 62. Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, and when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter had something to deal with. He had something in his past. I appreciate the scripture Linda read this morning. And she said an Old Testament passage that related to Advent, related to the hymns that we were singing. Advent a part of Advent is looking back to the past, looking at the time even before Christ was born and realizing there were difficult times, there were challenging times. But there was a promise there. We don't live in the past. We recognize that past, but we don't live there because there's something so much greater that's come, and the same is to be true in our own lives, just like it was for Peter and what had happened between him and his Lord. So I ask you, as you begin to think about your past, as you remember it, what are you convicted of? What is it that God stirs inside of you this morning? What is it that you struggle with, that you don't necessarily at times want to be a part of your identity, that you don't like to be there, that you may not want others to know about? What is it that's there? Peter's was that even though God had done all this for him, he denied him three times out of fear, out of whatever it may have been. He said, I don't even know this Jesus guy. And Jesus was the one who had given him everything. Yet let's look what continues. The next thing I say here is what Jesus promises. Does anyone know offhand what Jesus said to Peter even before all this happened? Something happened and Peter wasn't even his real name at first. It was Simon. And he renamed him Peter. And what did he tell him when he renamed him Peter? He's the rock. Peter stood for rock. And upon this rock I will do what? Build my church. This is what he had told Peter. This is what he told Peter before he went to the cross. This is what he told Peter before Peter denied him. This was the promise that Jesus had made to Peter. It doesn't say it in Scripture, but I can't help but to think when Peter's going through all this, when he goes out and he weeps bitterly because of what he's done, does this come to mind at all? Does he remember that Jesus said that he was the very one that was the rock that his church was to be built upon? Did he think, how could it possibly be me? Was Jesus wrong? Look at what I've done. Do we ever deal with that? Do we ever look at our own lives and say, look at the mess I made of this. Look at the decision that I made. Look at my life. God can't use me. Not now. Not this way. Peter had to have thought that. But just as Jesus had said to Peter, upon you I will build my church. God said something to us. And it's in John chapter 14, verse 12. In John 14, verse 12, it says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Did you get that? Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in him? Do you? Because it says, anybody who believes in me will, not maybe, not if I choose to, will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Jesus promises us that if we are believers, if Jesus is in our heart, not only will we profess who he is, we will do his work and we will do greater things on this earth than Jesus Christ himself did. Yes, that's what Scripture says. It's not what I'm saying. It's what Scripture says. That's the promise that Jesus has made. Just as he made the promise to Peter, he's made that promise to you. If you live with Christ in your heart, this is what you will do. So, if we recognize who we are, we recognize Jesus' promises, the next thing that we see in Peter is remorse. If we look at John chapter 14, this is the time, actually it's John chapter 21, John 21 verse 15. This is the time after Jesus has risen from the dead. There were several times he appeared after he had risen from the dead, and this was one where he had appeared to his disciples, and Peter was there, and he's having a conversation with Peter. And this is what he says. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." What's happening here? This is the conversation between Jesus and Peter, where Peter is reinstated. Peter has made a mistake. Peter has had something happen in his life that he isn't going to just be able to say, "I'm sorry," and get over. He denied Jesus Christ, the one that he's given his life to. And he denied him three times. So Jesus comes back, and I don't know at what point Peter realized it, but there's a reason that Jesus asked Peter the same question three times. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Because that was the number of times he denied Christ. So that's a part of reinstating. And each time after he said it, he said, "Then feed my sheep." It wasn't just saying, "I'm sorry, everything will be okay." There's an action. And it's reinstating, putting Peter where he was before, but yet at a different place. There is obvious forgiveness. There is this remorse led to repentance. And repentance is a change of heart. Repentance isn't just saying, "I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry I did it." Repentance is a change of heart. And you know what that is. You know it if you've experienced it yourself. You know it at times if you've seen it in others. That the heart can actually change. And that's able to lead to true forgiveness. Well, then, the next point that I have is that remorse is not to be guilt used as a tool of Satan. Because there are times that's what happens. And you can think about it. And if you're not careful, you can go there right now. You can think about things you've done in your past. You can think about things you've said, ways you've treated people, ways you've responded in life, decisions you've made, ways you tried to get ahead. And you know that it's not what God wanted. And if you really allow yourself to go there, it begins to be something that will keep you from being the person God calls you to be. It will keep you from recognizing the potential that God has given you. And it tries to discredit the promises that Jesus Christ has made to you. And he's made a lot. There's a devotion online thing that I like to use. It's called 365 Daily Promises, I think. And I've subscribed to it. And so each day of the year, I'm sent a promise that's based, it's a scripture, directly from scripture. It's a promise that's from Jesus to us. And that's just the beginning of it. And if you want to, you can go online and look at that. But when Satan gets a hold of us and says, "You're not good enough, you're not worthy, you've screwed up, you can't be fixed, you're just not worthy," it tries to discredit all those promises, even the one where Jesus said, "If you believe in me, you will do what I have been doing, and you will do even greater." Well, the next thing that I've got is beyond remorse, beyond repentance, beyond forgiveness, there's to be a redirection. And if we look at Peter, there was it wasn't enough just to say, I'm sorry. It didn't just put him back where it was. It wasn't what I would call a do-over. It was true restoration. So even though Peter wishes he had not done that, he never wanted. If he could take those words back, he would. And we've all been there and done that. But having been through that and having suffered the way he has and having truly had the change of heart and experienced his forgiveness, when he comes out of that and has the conversation with Jesus, he is a different person. It's not just a do-over. He goes back and tries the same thing again. It's changed him. And the same thing is true with us. That's the power of who God is. And when we do that, when we recognize that, the result is a God-sized result. And that's why we're able to do things that are greater than what Jesus did, not because of who we are, but because of who God is through us. And if we were perfect, if we didn't make the mistakes, we wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. And we would rightfully say the attention needs to be drawn to us. But that's why God uses us. That's why God uses our imperfections. Because when people look and see that he can use somebody as messed up as I am to accomplish something that benefits the kingdom, everybody knows it's not about me. It's about the one who lives inside of us. So, this Advent season, as we begin it, I want to invite you. Christ accepts you where you are. You don't need to have to be good enough. Peter didn't have to fix himself. He went out and wept bitterly, and I'm sure that he suffered and he struggled with that. But Jesus was able to take him where he was. It may be that you have something in your past that you need to come to terms with. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you need to experience forgiveness. And maybe God's already been willing to forgive you, but you haven't been willing to forgive yourself. You haven't been willing to let go of that. Or maybe you have. You're in that process, and maybe it's a time for recommitment. And you need to say, God, as I go into this, I don't know if you realize this, Advent in the liturgical calendar for the church is actually the beginning of the church year. And I know for us in the calendar, the way our calendars are put together, it's January 1st, but technically today is the first day of the new year in the liturgical year of the church calendar. What better way to start the new year than to say, God, make me whole. God, allow me to be who you want me to be. God, take away the junk that I don't want to be a part of me, that I never wanted to be a part of me, but it did. Allow me to be the person you want me to be. And God is yearning for us to say that, to do that, but he's not going to force it. So don't live in the past. Don't allow your past to keep you from being the person God wants you to be. It may be that the biggest thing you need this Advent season, the biggest thing you need this Christmas, is to be able to see yourself as God sees you. And to do that, you've got to let go of the stuff that Satan wants to throw up in your face from your past, saying that you're not worthy. Saying that's a constant barrier to accomplishing dreams. That's a constant barrier to being worthy of doing the things other people say you might be able to do, because they're seeing the giftedness you have. They're seeing the calling God's placed on your life, but you just aren't willing to go there. Every single person in here, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you don't, I'd love to talk to you about that today, but if you do, Scripture says, and I just read it, says that you will do greater things than Jesus Christ himself. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, or I'm going to keep talking all day long because I'm excited about this. But as we acknowledge who Christ is in our life. It gives us opportunity to live differently. And there have been times that we've said, we've thought, what would it have been like for us to see Jesus? What would it have been like for us to meet Jesus? Then it might be so much easier to believe. It might be so much easier to understand. Scripture says that we're going to do greater things than Jesus did, and we live in a world that needs to see it and know it. So are you willing to live into that promise of who you are? Please kneel before the baby, the one who gave everything so we could have everything, so we could share everything, because of the unfathomable love of our God. Let's stand together and sing. The altar's open. Be made. Come as God would lead.